Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready!
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes. So ready.
This is KMOX, the trusted voice of St. Louis.
And this is Overtime.
All right, it is 8:32 and welcoming in to Studio B on this lovely Thursday morning. Hi, Amy Markscores.
Well, good morning. I'm super happy because there's food out in the food room.
There is.
Otherwise known as the kitchen.
The food room.
And there's a Bunsen burner, and I love a good Bunsen burner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not really a Bunsen burner, but one of those little... What do they call
it? Is a Bunsen burner what you did in college high school?
In science class, yeah.
No, that's what it looks like. It makes, I know they're heating up burritos or something, but it makes me want to do chemistry.
Nothing makes me want to do chemistry.
No. But this is coming from somebody who walked in with a coffee cup of the Golden Girls.
Thank you for being a friend.
Traveled down the road.
Hi, Michael Kelly.
Again. Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
It is perfect out there. And like Roger said, though, I don't know that it's going
to
last.
It's not supposed to. But, you know, we're going to a pre... Oh, I see some more clouds. Look at how fast the clouds are moving in.
And I want to know, what the hell is going on with these cows? Why are there so many cows on the roads?
Ladies and gentlemen, please keep your cows in their pens or yards.
If Roger has told you once, he's told you 100 times. No cows on the road.
No cows on the road. If you think hitting a deer is going to be bad, imagine hitting a cow.
Oh.
I'm serious. They're in the roadway and it's
dark.
I have not, thank God. Yeah. But, you know, I have hit like a bird before and then cried about it because I felt so awful.
Yeah, I got a squirrel like that. Mm-hmm. And it ruined me for weeks. I still have the visual of what it looked like in my rearview mirror.
It is traumatizing.
It is.
I have hit a squirrel and I've cried and I've hit a deer. Well, really, the deer hit me.
Yes.
And it totaled my car and all the airbags went off. And I did not feel sad for the deer in that moment. The cop's like... Is the deer dead? I'm like, if it's not, I'm going to go get it right now. Because
bring its neck.
Yeah, it ran into my car.
I had that happen too. A deer hit me.
Yes.
I didn't hit it. It was on the side of the highway and it just came running sideways and it rammed the side of my car.
Well,
scared the heck out of me.
Miss Violence over there, Amy, told me this morning that she will go out of her way to roll over a... what would you call them?
An armadillo. Not that I would go out of
what?
My way. I don't want them on my car, but armadillos are not native to Missouri, and they carry leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
And the conservation department says you're supposed to, you know, get rid of them, kill armadillos if you see them. And I would not feel sad... if an armadillo were to die. But I don't want it on my car because of the leprosy. That freaks me out. You know what I mean?
All carry leprosy, or is it like occasionally they do?
In my head, they all do.
Okay.
But I'm sure just occasionally.
What is leprosy? Like, we all know it from the Bible and stuff.
I know.
But what does it look like? Like,
no, you don't want to know.
Your skin like rots off. It's
really?
Not good.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a necrotic disease.
Huh.
Necrotic.
So, well, if you see Amy swerving, it's more than likely she's going for an armadillo.
All right. I'd still feel bad if I hit an armadillo. I don't even like Canada geese, but I would still feel bad if I hit a Canada goose. They're so mean.
They're no good, and they're selfish.
They
poop like dogs.
Selfish. That is a great word for them.
They are selfish. Like, they know they're crossing a 4-lane road, and they just kind of look at you like, chill, dude.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, what are we going to do?
And I'm like, you're lucky I'm a nice guy because the next creep would hit you.
Right.
You were like totally going into George Bush. Not going to cross the
road. Not going to do it.
Not going to do it. Not going to cross it. Shouldn't do it.
Okay.
Be prudent.
I think there are two kinds of people this morning. People who are kicking themselves because they went to bed, Amy, when it
That's
was
exactly
three
right.
to one.
That'd be me.
And then the people who are very tired this morning because they stayed up for the rest of it.
And that would be me. Oh, yeah. I did a little really bad Photoshop, and I have the picture on my Twitter of Harry Truman holding up a newspaper, and it says, Avs defeat Blues in five. And because everybody was writing off the Blues, and when they went down 3-0, you're like, yep, it's over. And then Tarasenko scores, and it's 3-1, and you think, well, good for them. They didn't get shut out. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're not
mm-hmm.
thinking a comeback. Then the Blues tie it up in the third period. We've got all the momentum. And then Nathan MacKinnon with the goal of the playoffs. I mean, this guy is a superstar player. He is the type of player that when I was working with the Blues, you know, you're chatting with the Blues in the locker room. Remember, Ryan O'Reilly, you know, used to play for the Avalanche, would talk about the skill of Nathan MacKinnon. And he goes end to end. He scores a superstar goal. And according to Ben Hockman, Colorado starts playing their We Won the Game song. There's 2 minutes, 40-something seconds left. The Blues are going to pull their goalie. And you think, oh, man, like, we came close.
Right.
Then the Blues tie it up, and they win in overtime. And, Bozak, oh, my gosh.
In the skates of Letty. Here's Bozak. Lines and shoots. He scores! Tyler Bozak in overtime has forced game six in the series.
And what's funny is during this game, I was texting with my my good friend Drew about the Blues, and he's like, I've made a list every game of the players that I'm happy with their play. Guess who hasn't been on that list? And I was like, well, you know, Shen, Thomas, Barbashev. And he's like, well, Barbashev is a good call, but Bozak, Tarasenko, Thomas, these are the guys that haven't shown up this series. And, of course, every guy that was on our list that we were really kind of crabbing about, those are the guys that stepped up last night, right. And they needed to. But Drew was watching on streaming and was about 3 minutes behind me. So the Blues would score, and then I'd have to wait.
Yeah!
So he's still crabbing about Tarasenko. He's like, Tarasenko's terrible. So I know he scored. I got to wait
You're
3 minutes.
You're like, I don't know. I think he's really going to do it.
I
really think he's going to score.
I feel some energy. So it was like the Blues would score. I'd have to wait 3 minutes. Drew would be crabbing about something. And then he would be like, oh, my gosh, Bozak. And then we could talk about it. But I had to wait.
Oh, I would have totally played him. I'd have been like, you know, I'm really feeling and like Bozak's going to do something here. I'm really
I'll
feeling it.
I bet you $1,000 we tie this game.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
See, Amy, you have to think more strategically. You could have made a lot of money.
I can't top anything other than at 2:30 when I woke up for the first time to use the restroom. I looked at my phone and I was like, oh, my gosh, we won.
Because
when I went to bed, I was convinced it was done.
It's over. Yeah. 8:39 traffic and weather on the way. It's Stevie Nicks' birthday today. Because of TikTok videos, every time I hear this song now, I think of people skateboarding drinking cranberry juice.
That's right.
So, song's been ruined for me now.
Totally.
Anyway, happy birthday, Stevie Nicks. It's 8:43. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Michael Kelly and Amy Marks-Kors. All right, in more serious business news of the day, Beto O'Rourke, who is running for governor in Texas, interrupted a news conference Wednesday that Governor Greg Abbott was at They, of course, were talking about the school shooting, this horrible school shooting, 19 children dead, two teachers or teacher and staff. And Beto was saying, this tragedy is totally predictable when you choose to do nothing. Now, he wasn't mic'd, so you could only kind of hear some of what he was saying. But people on the stage with Governor Abbott, Michael, were shouting him down and he was escorted out. Some people are saying, you know, it needed to be said. And others are saying that was totally out of line.
Yeah, I can understand both points. I side with it needed to be said crowd. But come back tomorrow when Hancock and Kelly are here, because what I'm about to say is how John Hancock and I met. I don't like when people crash other people's press conferences. But how I know John is, I crashed his press conference.
Aw.
And then he returned the favor about a week later and crashed mine.
So do you think Greg Abbott and Beto O'Rourke will be hanging out best buddies playing snooker soon?
I hope so. But I hope that I hope the governor's retired and Beto is the governor. The only thing I will say about it, the most interesting thing to me is there was more anger expressed from that stage in those 15 seconds against Beto O'Rourke than was expressed about the crazy gun culture we have going on in this country.
Yeah, you know, I understand the emotion, but maybe it's just me, you know, I don't know if I'm biased against Beto O'Rourke, or maybe that's unfair, but for some reason, it just, he kind of strikes me as smarmy, and it almost felt like in this instance, he thought, I'm going to earn some political points. I'm going to get up in the governor's face. I'll make the headlines. This will be about me being the brave one standing up to these, you know, pro-gun politicians. And it just, I don't know, it struck me the wrong way. I think when you're dealing with the tragedy of this magnitude and it's so fresh in people's minds, it didn't, I'm not a fan of it. And like Michael Kelly said, not a friend of fan of crashing press conferences. And also the mayor of Uvalde was there and was pushing back, not physically, but verbally, you know, pushing back at Beto O'Rourke. And I think he called him an SOB, you know, and said to quiet down. And I think if the mayor's there, I mean, it's his town. You want to show some respect for the people who are there. So this really rubbed me the wrong way. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be upset, but there is something to be said for decorum and doing it the right way.
Interestingly, though, the governor of Texas was saying that this is a mental health issue and this was a deranged person. Texas ranks last in the United States for access to mental health care. Number 50 out of 50 states. Wow. And Governor Abbott cut $200 million from the Health and Human Services Department that provides mental health and put it toward his fight on the border. So if you think of it that way, is it somewhat justified to point that out or no?
Well, my first thought is, of course, we should be talking about mental health. We need to make those services more available to people. But if you are going to talk about mental health and not about guns, then it is a deflection. And you're not talking about the real issue, because this shooter was evil. He was evil. It was deliberate action. And he bought the guns legally. It is too easy for kids to buy these guns, for people to buy guns, but especially an 18-year-old. And so, is it okay to bring up, hey, we need to make sure we have services that can help people with mental health, or at least can identify these shooters potentially before it happens? Because he had so many red flags. He had so many red flags leading up to this. So enforce the red flag laws. We have to talk about that. And he bought the guns legally. And if you don't bring up guns, I think you are not looking at what the issue is.
It's 8:47. The issue here is we have to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about college student loans and job jumping in round three of OT. It's 8:47. It is 8:51. I'm Debbie Monterey. Michael Kelly, Amy Marks Kors. College enrollment is dropping. So according to the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center, they say 662,000 fewer students enrolled in undergraduate programs in the spring of 2022 than a year earlier. That's a 4.7% decline. Graduate and professional student enrollment, which had been the bright spot during the pandemic, also declined 1% from last year. Any thoughts why, Amy?
Well, I do think, I don't know all the answers, but I do think a lot of students are probably reconsidering college debt and thinking, you know what? Now is not the time for me to take on $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 in college debt, which I think is a good thing in a lot of ways, that these young kids many of whom were pushed into degrees no matter what, even if they were undecided. They're like, get your degree in anything. Well, that's an expensive decision, especially if you're not sure what to do. I know more and more kids who, if they aren't exactly sure what they want to do, will go to community college and save some money, get those core classes, and then, heck, you can go to Cornell. And guess what your diploma says? Cornell. Or more and more kids say, you know what? I could make six figures in the trades and get a good job with job security, and also, and not just the money, but I just think the creativity, the satisfaction of working in the trades. I hope we continue to show that that's a viable career path for kids too.
Yeah, so I think it's totally all about what it costs, and then you're coming out of college with a house payment and no house. As somebody who hires people, I don't know. I mean, when these young people come in with these big fancy degrees and stuff, I'm like, okay, you jumped through that hoop, but it really isn't necessary.
But what can you do?
Yeah, what can you do? And I got to tell you, somebody who comes from a community college, or maybe even somebody who didn't finish college, if you have a personality, you can get people to like you and trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're being a doctor, a chemist, or an engineer, I just think it's a huge hoop that you're jumping through to put yourself in significant debt.
Here's another thing, though. I think it a lot has to do with the current job market. People are so desperate for workers, and a lot of companies are saying, you know, you don't need a college degree now. Companies that used to expect that you had at least a bachelor's are saying, you know, maybe you don't need that. So, to your point about cost, why put yourself in debt if companies are going to hire without a college degree?
My dad didn't have a college degree, and he was insistent that we all get one. And I appreciated it, but it was jumping through a hoop. I'm not sure that I, you know.
Don't you think, too, like you see this, like you see fancy degrees, and I've heard the world now is, well, the United States is full of overqualified, underexperienced people.
Right.
And experience and your ability to self-delegate and teach yourself is worth so much.
Just someone who can communicate, talk, make eye contact is more important to me than you went to Harvard and you got a public policy degree.
Right. I have to tell you, though, as a mom of a 17-year-old who will be a senior, the pressure is intense because everybody on Facebook is posting pictures of which campuses they visited, which school their kid is going to. Look at this fancy school. And so if you are going the community college route with your kid, or maybe your kid has decided to not go to college, it feels terrible.
And here's what my encouragement. As someone who didn't go to college, you would not believe what strangers would say. I was working retail. I didn't have a college degree. Like, what are you doing? You want to work at a shoe store the rest of your life? You made the worst decision you've ever made. You just threw your life away. So many adults told me this. And here's what I will tell kids. If they decide, right, that they're going to go to community college and maybe get their core classes or pursue whatever it is they want to pursue, nobody will care in a couple of years.
No.
Nobody will care. You know how many people have asked me what college I went to? Zero. Do you know my work applications, if my college degree mattered? Zero. Now, I know that's not true for everybody, depending on the field you want to go into. But what I'm saying is, if you have decided to do community college, don't care about what those people say. They're just dealing with their own stuff. You're fine. No one will care in a couple of years.
And I heard you doing a story earlier this week about how people are lying on their resumes. Those are unimpressive to me either. It really comes down to human interaction. Can you talk? Can you speak? Can you make eye contact? Can you get people to like you? Can you pay attention? Can you understand a task?
Yes.
It doesn't matter where you went to, what your damn, what do they call it, resume says. That's what it comes down to for me.
And what we see here all the time is you know when they hire a new person, you can tell right away whether they get it or they don't get it.
Yeah.
And that just means, oh, this person gets it. Like, you can show them something and they go, oh, okay, cool. And then they go with it. Mm-hmm. And other people are like, hi there. Okay, you know, college doesn't matter if you just are one of those people who doesn't really get it.
Oh, there's a bunch of parents right now with kids driving to school that are like, turn this off.
You're going to Georgetown. That Amy is terrible. She's a liar. But seriously, like I said, if it's right for you and people are putting pressure, forget them. Nobody will care. I'm telling you.
Yeah, no one's
cares.
Ever asked me what my grade point average was from college. Never.
And I went to UMSL. I got one of the best educations you could possibly imagine. And I've met kids, people who work for me who went to very fancy schools.
Yeah. Well, here's one number to leave you with. U.S. student loan debt now tops $1.7 trillion.
Enough said.
All right, that's overtime
for Thursday.
Keep building
them buildings at those universities.
It's 8:57.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.